Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Jesus is passing by. So many of the miracles that Jesus did, it was just as he's on his way. Sometimes he's interrupted. Sometimes he stops and takes note of things. This is the case today. He stops and doesn't just take note of things. He takes note of a man. Sometimes, years ago, I remember being part of the North American church where it seemed like if God was doing something somewhere, you had to get there. You had to get to a conference. You had to get to a speaker. You had to get, look what God's doing over there. Look at what God's doing over there. You need to get there. And while I think that there is something about God doing things in specific places. I mean, we look at the upper room, it was in that place. It didn't happen just everywhere, it was in that moment. Fair enough. But what's really important is that we get to Jesus, is that we have an encounter with Jesus. And this man that we're going to see has an encounter with Jesus. And so as we go through this story, if you don't have the Bible app or if you'd like to follow along in your Bible or in your device, we're going to be in John, Gospel of John chapter 9, which is going to read almost the whole chapter. We're going to look at this story. For some of us here today, we'll say, I know this story. I've heard this before. But I'm wondering if you would be willing to open your heart and open your life to God's word today, even though you know the story, and say, God, would you speak to me through your word, that there would be something new. Not that our ears are just itching for something new, but could there be something that you would speak to me today, maybe new, fresh, just timely today? And that's the beauty of God's word, living and quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, is that we can read it over and over and over again and still be learning and still be discovering. Or trust His Holy Spirit to speak to us through His word. God, would you speak to us? Verse 1, John chapter 9 says this. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work as long as I am in the world. I am the light of the world. I'm going to stop there and I'll just offer some commentary. Jesus saw the man. The man did not see Jesus. He's blind. But Jesus saw him. And the disciples equate his blindness with sin. Someone has sinned. Who sinned? This must be someone's fault. Things like this don't happen, don't just happen. An understanding, and sometimes we struggle with this today, people will say, bad things don't happen to good people. You must have done something wrong. This somehow must be tied into your fault. And if it wasn't him, it was his parents, and if it wasn't his parents, it was him. And somehow the question demonstrates such an inherent need to pin blame. That if it's not his parents, it's him. Do you remember he was born blind? So somehow in the womb, he must have, I mean, just it is such a desperation. This must be someone's fault that he's sick. Sickness is a result of sin. Sometimes, and sometimes not. Sometimes we just live in a fallen world. Sometimes, Scripture just says it rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes we just get sick. Who sinned? And it's one of my favorite things that Jesus says, neither. Neither him nor his parents. Jesus wasn't saying that his parents didn't ever sin or he didn't ever sin. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that there is no specific sin that they did or he did that caused this. But here's the reason, that the works of God might be revealed in him. I don't believe that Jesus was saying God blinded the guy. Here, I know what I'll do. I'll cause him to be blind for all of these years, and then I'll show up just for this moment so you can see. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. I think Jesus was saying at that moment, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's happened in your life, no whatever has brought you to this point, this is now how I'm going to reveal God's glory, that the works of God might be revealed. There is something redemptive in whatever we have gone through, whatever we've faced. God can bring his redemptive power to bear in our lives right now. And in front of this man, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Ouch. Really? You're the light that I will never see? You're the light of the world to a man who's only ever seen darkness. That is all he has ever seen is darkness. And you're saying you're the light of the world that I will never see. Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Ramon, did you know I was preaching on this text today? No? He prayed this text in our prayer meeting before the service. I meant to ask you, so I just did. Yeah. Anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. To make clay, you've got to have a lot of spit. Do you stop and pause at moments like this in the Holy Scripture? Jesus made clay out with his spit, out of the mud. I wonder, was it one big goober? Or was it a lot? Now, when I talked to my wife, Audrey, I said, oh, man, I meant to bring some dirt today. She said, why? I said, I wanted to make clay. She said, honey, you don't need to actually demonstrate what it looks like. Okay. I don't often want to spend time talking to you about what the Greek words are, but I'm going to this morning about spat, and Jesus spat. The word is transliterated into English, spelled this way, P-T-U-O, and it's pronounced patu. The word spat is patu. Would you turn to the person beside you, say patu? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be gross. But that's the Greek of what happened, patu. But you gotta, like, how much do you got to spit to make mud to rub it in the guy's eye? Now, this is not where here's mud in your eye came from. This is not that. But what Ramon prayed was just the confusion of this moment. Jesus didn't need to do this. Jesus didn't need to do this, right? A word? When he healed the leper, he didn't, Lord, if you were willing, and Jesus said, I'm willing, he reaches out and touches the leper. He didn't need to touch the leper. Just with a word. The centurion understood that and said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. You don't need to physically be there. You just say the word. How many times did Jesus just speak and the miraculous took place? And this time, the blind guy, he makes mud, this clay out of his saliva, and he puts it in the guy's eyes. It means smeared. Now, your version, most versions will say this, and I think it said this earlier, anointed. Anointed. Jesus anointed him with this. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord, anoint me. Oh, God, I just want to be anointed. I just want to, just let me walk in your, God, anoint me. But we don't want to let Jesus choose the anointing. Wow. What we're anointed for, what we're anointed with. But our hearts need to be, Lord, anoint me. Your touch is what matters, however you determine, however you see fit. So the scene is this. Jesus sees a blind guy, and when he sees him, he rubs mud in his eyes. And at this point, I don't know, just spectating, it wouldn't look like Jesus is a very nice guy. In fact, he made things worse. Right? If the guy could have seen before, He can't see now with this stuff in his eyes. Watch what happens. Just somehow, I think it's so important to look at the humanity of what is going on. Verse 7, and he said to him, so Jesus speaks to the man and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed. And then the Bible just says it's just these four words, and came back seeing. That just hidden and came back seeing. The miraculous took place. But it wasn't just when Jesus touched his eyes that he could see. He still got this. Go wash. And it said, and he came back seeing. And he came back to where Jesus was. He came back to the place. And Jesus wasn't there anymore. How did he get to the pool of Siloam? Just bear with me for a second. The blind man has mud smeared in his eyes. And Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam. How did he get there? Somebody had to help him. That's how a blind man gets from place to place. Somebody has to help him. How did he get back? For the first time in his life, he didn't need any help. For the first time in his life, he didn't need anybody to guide him. Remember, he has never seen anything before. He hasn't seen a person. He hasn't seen a bird. He hasn't seen a tree. He hasn't seen colors. He hasn't seen water. He hasn't seen his own hands. He has never seen anything. He goes to wash in the pool of Siloam. He comes back. And you would think at this moment, the band is starting, and Cool and the Gang are singing Celebrate, Good Times, Come On, there's a party going on. So this guy comes back. Instead of this celebration, he finds resistance. You would think things would be different for him. I can see clearly now. Amazing grace, and when he would sing that song, he'd be able to say, I once was blind, but now I see. Watch what happens. So he comes back to where Jesus was. Jesus is no longer there. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he's like him. And he said, I'm he. I'm the guy. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he said, now watch what he says. This is what he knows. A man called Jesus, because he's never seen him. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And even if Jesus was standing there, I don't know. And some people believed him, and some people didn't. Everyone's got a look-alike. Everybody's got a doppelganger. This isn't the guy, it just looks like the guy. They asked, how did this happen? And he just says this, a man called Jesus made clay. Does he know how he made the clay? We do, right? We've got to look into this. Well, he made clay. Oh, did he? Ooh. This is what happened. He touched me. He spoke to me. I obeyed, and I was healed. It's just not that complicated. He touched me, he spoke to me, I obeyed, and I was healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was our story, if that was our testimony? He touched me. He spoke to me. I obeyed. And everything changed. He touched me, he spoke to me, I obeyed, I responded, and everything changed. It's just not that complicated. So they took him to the professionals, the religious leaders of the day, who have an uncanny knack being able to complicate things. Verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind. We don't even find his name, the artist formerly known as Prince. It's just they brought him formerly who was blind to the Pharisees. Verse 14, now it was the Sabbath year. Pardon me, it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed and I see. It's the same testimony. Over and over again, we're going to see this. Therefore, some of the Pharisees says, this man, speaking of Jesus, is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there's division among them. And so they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes, and he said he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe concerning him because he had been blind and received his sight, that he had, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. They don't even believe him. And they asked them, saying, verse 19, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. And then the writer brings some clarity for us. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. They're afraid. They didn't believe he was the guy who was born blind. They needed to verify his story. Mom and dad, is this your son? Yeah, that's him. Mom and dad, was he born blind? Yes, he was. They would remember that. They'd remember the moment where they discover something's not right. Was it immediate? Could you see something in his eyes right away? No, was it as he began to grow that they discovered something's not right? His eyes aren't following. When was it? But they would remember the years our son was blind. How can he now see? We don't know. They replied, he's old enough. And it's this sad moment where we discover that his parents will neither stand with him nor stand with Jesus. That there's consequences to standing for Jesus. That anyone who would admit that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, will be thrown out of the synagogue. We live in a day and age where there are consequences for us standing up for Christ. If we say Jesus is the only way, may not be kicked out of the synagogue, but there is a society that will cancel us. Amen. A workplace, a school, friends, community, labeled intolerant, labeled all kinds of things. There is a consequence to say Jesus is the only way. Now, I would tell you Jesus is not the only way, but he's the only way that works. There are many ways they talk about, but there's only one way to God. There's only one way. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you do not have him, you do not have life. We only have life in his name. Verse 24. So they again, the religious leaders, called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory, give God the glory. That's what he's trying to do. Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, listen, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. What a testimony. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I can't tell you. All I know is this. He touched me and I'm different. Everything changed when I had this encounter with this man. And they said, what did he do? Verse 26, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And now he's getting frustrated and a little sarcastic. And he says, I told you already, you did not listen. Well, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? Probably not the most helpful thing to say in a moment. Then they reviled him and said, another version, NASB, it says abused. And said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Then the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. And you can see the sarcasm increasing. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone's a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And then he says that since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you're teaching us. And they cast him out. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I can't tell you what books make up the Pentateuch. I can't tell you the four spiritual laws. I can't tell you what soteriology means. I can't name all the disciples. I can't tell you all the books of the Bible in order. I can't tell you my answers about ecclesiology. I can't eschatology. I can't tell you about sanctification or, like, I don't know all the things that he couldn't tell. But he could tell this: I was blind and now I see. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I know this, that I was blind and now I see. And he did this to me. And when we think about the Alpha Course, and sometimes we get worried how people are going to have questions, we think, well, I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the answers. What do you know? Do you know Jesus has touched you and he changed your life? Share that. You don't have to have all the knowledge of every answer. Man, so many things can be confusing. But this I know. He touched me. And I've never been the same. And that's what this guy's testimony is. And then he gets blamed. Our story ends with the same way it begins. Hey, Jesus, this guy's a sinner. Like, who sinned? He starts because of sin, our stories, and they kick him out saying, yeah, you were born in your sins. He was blind and not allowed to go in the synagogue because of blindness, and then when he could see, he gets kicked out of the synagogue. He just can't win for losing. Just everywhere. I'm healed. He comes back. Yeah, you're not the guy. Come on. Remember, he hadn't seen Jesus yet. All of this takes place and he hadn't seen Jesus. But Jesus had seen him and touched him and spoken to him. And the very last time he saw Jesus, well, he was with Jesus, he was blind. Watch what happens. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. It's an amazing thing in the story. Jesus saw him and then now heard what's happening to him. Jesus cares. Cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He's looking at Jesus, and Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, now it doesn't say this, and it doesn't say this in the original text, it doesn't say this in the original language, but dollars to donuts, Jesus smiled. Can you see this moment? Who is he? Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. You have seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." It's me, right? This moment. Who is the Son of God? And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." And watch this beautiful moment. And he said, "Lord, I believed." And these next four words, and he worshiped him. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? We've moved from a blind man begging outside the synagogue, a blind man whose only encounter with Jesus is Jesus spits in the ground and rubs it in his eyes and tells him to go. And he comes back healed because of what Jesus did and because of what Jesus said and because he obeyed. He comes back to a resistant crowd. He comes back to being reviled by the religious leaders and getting kicked out of the synagogue. But that's not where it ends for this guy. It ends with him discovering who Jesus is, the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God? I do. Who is he? It's me, and you've seen him, and he's talking to you. And he says, it ends with a moment of belief. See, the miracle isn't just that his physical eyes were open. The miracle was that his heart was open. That his spiritual eyes were open, and he saw Jesus, not just the person. All kinds of people saw Jesus walking down the street. They saw him, but missed him. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, had you known the day of your visitation? They saw Jesus. So many people saw Jesus and were underwhelmed. But this man saw Jesus, said, who is the Son of God? I believe. Jesus said, it's me. He said, I believe. And it wasn't just that he believed, he worshiped. He worshiped him. I didn't take the time to look up the word. Worship often in the New Testament is translated proskuneo, and it actually means to lay prostrate before, like lay right down. I don't know if that happened here or not, but I know there was a heart that said, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. Loved ones, I don't know where you are in life or what's brought you to this place. We live in a very sinful world, and bad things happen, and really bad things happen to good people. Sometimes, in all honesty, and this is without condemnation, but it's at least an acknowledgement, sometimes we make a real mess of things. And we're living in the consequences of things that we have done. But I love how Jesus, when the disciples are trying to pin this on somebody, when Jesus sees the man, he doesn't see the focus on the sin, he focuses on the healing. He focuses on that God's glory, that the works of God are going to be revealed in his life and people are going to see it. He was declaring God's life. Didn't matter how long he had been blind, all his life. He had never seen, not a moment. Didn't matter how long it had been, Jesus could touch him. Jesus could change everything. I don't know how long it's been for you, how life has been this way, how a situation has gone unchanged, how you're stuck, how you're trapped, how you hear about what Jesus does and yet haven't had that encounter where he has touched you, where you, at your very deepest point of need. I know this, that Jesus can do that today. Remember the steps of the story. Jesus saw him. Jesus touched him. Jesus spoke to him. He obeyed, and he was healed. It just doesn't have to be that complicated. Jesus sees you this morning. He sees you. His eye is on the sparrow so much more, it's on his kids. Jesus sees you. And Jesus wants to touch you. Where is your point of need? Jesus sees that. It hasn't gone by his notice. Sometimes it feels like it does. God, did you not see this? God, where were you? Jesus sees, and Jesus cares, and Jesus can touch you this morning. No matter how long it's been, no matter how dark it's been, no matter if it's just been so dark for so long that you can't remember when there was ever light, Jesus can see you, Jesus can touch you, Jesus can speak to you, and it just takes a word. And we were praying in pre-service prayer saying, God, speak to us, we need to hear your word, and then we need to obey. And I believe God's going to touch people this morning. God's going to speak to people this morning. See, this healing was progressive. It wasn't instant. When Jesus touched him, it didn't look like anything changed. It looked like things got worse. But as he obeyed and went and washed, he came back seeing. Doesn't even say Jesus said, be healed. It doesn't even say that it's hidden. We do not know. Did Jesus say, go do this and your eyes will be opened? It doesn't indicate there was any promise of what's going to happen when you obey, other than maybe you'll just have the mud that I put there washed away. There's no indication. It said, we just don't know. But the man just obeyed. He said, okay, I will do what you said. He just obeyed. And the story ends with Jesus revealing himself to the man, and he worships.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.